Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Right now, we turn our attention, very unfortunately, where the migrant workers in Singapore are concerned. They've been hit quite hard by the COVID-19 pandemic.
That's right. And some of their worker accommodations have been on lockdown. And that's all in an effort to help contain the spread of the virus. Singapore also seeing a big increase in its capacity to test migrant workers for the virus. A total of 21,000 workers have been tested since the beginning of the outbreak.
So that works up to about 1 in 15 migrant workers in dormitories being tested for the virus. And according to Health Minister Gan Kim Yong, there have been some comments that Singapore has reduced the testing of migrant workers, leading to a drop in the number of COVID-19 confirmed cases. That is not true, according to Mr. Gan. Singapore is still actively testing our migrant workers.
So a couple of questions from all of this. Have you ever wondered what one of these dormitory worker accommodations actually look like? And what's the mood right now amongst those who are in the dorms that are in lockdown?
On the line with us this morning is Ho Lip Chin, Chief Investor Officer of Centurion Corporation. Mr. Ho, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you loud and clear. And we understand that Centurion started out as an audio cassette tape manufacturer. That's quite interesting.
Yes, it is. And obviously, I mean, we've actually progressed and transformed ourselves into a leading accommodation provider, both in the workers and the student accommodation space. And just, you know, well, almost 10 years now.
Paint the picture for us, Mr. Ho, and I understand you have, and if you can, try and compare with the different accommodation assets you have in Singapore, Australia, the UK, the US perhaps. Is it really as bad as what some overseas publications are putting out, that these workers are living in fear? What is the accurate picture? I understand you're going on ground every day.
Yes, I've been going on ground every day for the past 3 weeks. And obviously, this is really an unprecedented event that had occurred. And I have to say that we in Centurion has probably more resource than probably some of the individual dorm operator. So we're able to mobilize our HQ team and lend support to the ops team on the ground. And I can say that, again, now joining the front line, I really know what is happening on the ground and, you know, whether it's feeling for the workers as well as our ops team, and now obviously supported by the FAST team from the government, and that's much appreciated. So on the ground right now, I think, you know, it's mood has stabilized. I think the workers obviously initially didn't really know quite what was happening. Mm. They were still going to work, but obviously with the lockdown now, nobody's going to work. Things have stabilized. I think in a way we've actually gotten to a routine of, again, caring for their meals. Most of them are actually in the rooms and getting used to this need to get everybody isolated to contain the spread of the virus.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Centurion runs a certain type of dormitory, and not all dormitories here in Singapore are alike, are they? They're not all made the same. Can you tell us how many assets you have here and also what they're like?
Centurion has 5 assets here in Singapore, totaling about 28,000 beds. And we manage all our assets under the Westlife brand, and I think professionally run. The different type of asset classes, again, asset types within the workers' dormitory is quite varied. You have the ones that we have, which actually are more apartment-style-like. So they actually do have their own ensuite toilets and kitchens where they can actually cook inside the unit. So it's actually unlike, say, you know, sort of your HDB, smaller HDB, 3-room, 2-room type of flats. So I would consider these as probably better quality. Then there are the types where the likes of, say, you know, the S11 type, which is actually larger ones with common communal facilities. So they actually do have common toilets and common kitchens where actually the workers do share these facilities. And obviously there are the types that are factory converted dormitories, which are converted from factory, which again is not purpose built for its use. It's just to house workers, and they are obviously the quality probably a bit lower than what we call the purpose-built types.
So then does this situation mean that the industry really needs to look at progressively shifting to more purpose-built, if not all purpose-built dormitories for our migrant workers? Does that make a huge difference?
I think ideally the answer is yes. And I have to say that progressively that had happened, at least in my involvement in the workers' accommodation business for almost the last 10 years. So we've actually seen a progressive shift towards purpose-built. And if you know that within this purpose-built, it's not just the apartment units that the workers live in. There are also requirements to build, you know, pretty extensive community facilities and amenities, such as, you know, sports area, the gym, a mini mart. So it's actually a great community where, to be honest, before this, I think you can see, and if you visit, the workers actually do live and enjoy living in a community where they can actually socialize and interact. So going forward, I have to say that I think this is the right way to go, and we've actually been advocating and even continuing to up the standards as we progress along.
Well, it's interesting. Minister for National Development, Lawrence Wong, speaking just yesterday, Monday, had actually indicated that there will be longer-term facilities that will be ready in a year or two, because obviously a lot of lessons are being learned as a result of this experience, aren't they? Let's just talk about what Centurion or the Westlight brand has done to address COVID-19. What happened when you first discovered the outbreak was here in Singapore?
You know, the outbreak obviously started sometime in January, and we have always had a pandemic management plan in place. So we've actually activated our plan, the pandemic management plan, since mid-January. And, you know, in line of what new developments have been happening, we've been actually progressively been tightening the precautionary measures. So along the way, obviously, we've mobilized additional resources, stepping up hygiene and sanitation within our premises. Obviously, you know, in compliance with government regulations as well as recommendations, safe distancing and isolation measures. And also upping, obviously, the cleaning regime that we have, which is a very important aspect of making sure things are fine. But also communicating with the workers and employers to ensure that they also play a part in this. This is not something that we can do alone. So again, cleaning their rooms more regularly, now obviously having to put on masks, taking temperatures along the way. So we've moved along with what the guidelines is, and sometimes even doing actually more than what the guidelines is to ensure that, you know, hopefully this can be contained within our dormitories.
We are speaking with Ho Lip Chin, Chief Investor Officer of Centurion Corporation, online with us. Mr. Ho, I'm curious, you know, because you and me, having served the army, we know that there are guidelines, you know, how many recruits to a bunk, because it is a cluster area where, you know, like a BMT or an army camp is concerned. Now, this is a similar situation. Are there laws that define, you know, which tier and type of dormitories, how many people to a room and whatnot?
Yes, obviously. I think if you look back again, it's probably a defining time when in 2014, back then the Minister of Manpower, Minister Tan Chuan Jin, actually started and had this FIDA license in place, this Foreign Employment Dormitory Act. And that defines, in a way, not only the physical attributes of, you know, how the dormitory will look like, how many people to a bed, or even down to the point where how many square meters per worker within each of the units. So that's been well defined in that sense. But not only that, I mean, there's even specification on how much communal facilities that need to be provided for each of the workers living there. And I've also seen progressively the standards have been up. And also in terms of regulations, whether the MOMs, the planning authorities coming in to up the standards, MOM have been actually doing very regular checks on these dormitories to adhere to standards such as hygiene, cleaning, and so on and so forth. So again, you know, what we've all read in the news and such may not be representative of the standards that's been applied across the board for most of the purpose-built workers' accommodation.
I mean, with these ideas about having new accommodation in the future, and we're talking 1 to 2 years to see completion of that, could you see a possibility that actually the cost of accommodation for migrant workers might increase?
There's the possibility, but I guess first and foremost is that the focus on the well-being and the standards that then need to be implemented in the future. I think there is obviously a trade-off. You know, better quality will come with cost. And as general, if the cost is there, would employers be able to then afford the higher cost? So the trade-off is definitely there to be looked at. But again, I guess it's probably early days. I'm sure the authorities are now looking at it with hindsight of what should have been done in terms of the standards that needs to be implemented. But having said that, if you look at where it was and where it is right now, I have to say there's been a vast improvement. Unfortunately, this pandemic situation is unprecedented. I think the planning as well as the guideline and regulations that have been put in place probably did not foresee the extent of this. And none of us foresee that, honestly. I think generally we've had it well contained. The plans are in place and relatively well implemented. But this is something that really, you know, in essence, nobody foresaw the extent and how bad this is.
Mr. Ho, you're looking at a post-COVID world, right? Post-COVID-19 world. Mm-hmm. Then how's the impact of COVID-19? What's the kind of impact that would have on Centurion as a business? Because essentially the question that's being raised right now, and just to follow up from what Manisha said, a case of upping the standard, a case of cost, who bears the cost? It's very difficult to point the responsibility at one person, isn't it? Because it has to be a collective effort going to each development.
I agree with you. Again, this collective effort and you know, post-COVID norm, not just for this industry, but across many, many businesses, will somehow have to be re-looked at. Obviously, if we look at what's going to happen from here on, I think we will obviously see changes. How's that going to impact Centurion? I think as a leading dormitory player, and we've put in place a lot of professional management platforms and operating procedures, I think we would probably see that our standards would be obviously perhaps been
an example
benchmarks on certain things.
Yeah.
So I think we should be in a good position and good state to be able to weather this through, and how the regulatory changes will affect us, I think it's probably early days to see, but I guess we are probably in a good shape to be able to capitalize on that going forward.
And what's it like for the foreign workers in dormitories that are locked down at the moment? Can you give us a bit of perspective? Because, of course, it's Ramadan, isn't it? And a lot of them are Bangladeshi workers. They will be fasting. And there's been an incredible outpouring of support here in Singapore.
Yes, I think really appreciate all the outpouring. I think, you know, for good, for bad, that's given a lot of light as well as insights into, you know, foreign workers' life in Singapore as well as their living condition. I think, as I said earlier, when it first started a few weeks ago, a lot of them didn't know what was happening. Things are much stabilized right now. Obviously, like the rest of Singaporeans, they are, you know, contained within their rooms. We're all sort of under forced stay-home notice. So they're actually adapting. And obviously, for the Muslim friends of ours, a bit more challenging. But as you know, food is being catered for by the government right now, and they do receive, you know, food before going on a fasting period, starting time, as well as breakfast. So again, I think a lot of efforts, a lot of focus have been on the well-being of the workers, that they are, even in the light of Ramadan, that their needs are being looked after.
We've been speaking to Ho Lip Chin, Chief Investor Officer of Centurion Corporation. Mr. Ho, thank you so much for your time this morning. I know you're doing a lot. Please take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Thank you. And again, maybe, you know, as a recognition too, I mean, there are a lot of people out there sacrificing and putting ourselves in front and supporting the workers. So I'm sure together as a country, all of us coming together, we can actually overcome this.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.